Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070, WKOK and Sean Carey. Steve will be in the Sunbury Motors studio in just a few moments. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. You can find us on social media, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. Our email, stevejones@wkok.com. And a big thanks to everybody that has listened and subscribed to our Steve Jones Show podcast. And well over two-thirds of our podcast listeners are listening through iTunes and the Apple Podcast app. Thanks so much. And if you catch the podcast that way on your Apple device, please don't hesitate to leave us a review. We love the five-star reviews. And the Steve Jones Show podcast also available on Google Play. I think I did mention the email, stevejones@wkok.com. Contact us anytime there, stevejones@wkok.com. With you live till 5, then we'll have our late-day news roundup with Sarah Benick. 6:05 tonight, the Penn State Coaches Show, with head coach Patrick Chambers and Steve, of course, from Primanti Brothers in downtown State College. As the Penn State Nittany Lions look to bounce back from the loss last night at home against Michigan. Tough one at home with senior night. And big credit to the fantastic crowds that have been coming into the Bryce Jordan Center for the last batch of basketball games here during the season. They are noticing that the team is turning the corner. They are climbing. Let's see if they can finish the regular season on a great note on the road Sunday at Nebraska. We'll have live coverage, of course, here on WKOK with Steve and Dick Girardi. We'll have some more hoop talk coming up, specifically the Louisville basketball situation, the story that came down a little over 48 hours ago regarding the Louisville Cardinals getting stripped of over 100 games as well as their 2013 national championship. And one of the outstanding college basketball writers in the country that's been on this story since it broke quite a while back, Dana O'Neill from The Athletic. She'll join us next hour at 4:06. Talk about that and so much more as we're now less than a month away from getting the tournament underway, a.k.a. March Madness. Bucknell with an easy time over Navy last night. Coming up Saturday, Bucknell will wrap up the regular season down in D.C. at American. That'll be a 1:30 airtime Saturday on Eagle 107 at 107.3. And if I read the brackets correctly for the Patriot League tournament, after the Tuesday play-in game with lower seeds, quarterfinals will be starting 1 week from tonight on Thursday. That will include a home game at Soica. So Bucknell could be hosting as many as 3 games at Soica over the next few weeks. So don't miss out on your chance to catch great basketball right in our own backyard. You can go to bucknell.edu/box office. Check out the inventory of tickets that could still remain for the Patriot League tournament for all the action at Soica Pavilion. And we thank Nathan Davis for all the time that he's carved out for us during this 2017-18 season. So Bucknell looking to keep that rolling and lock in that automatic bid for March Madness. So, speaking of hoops, we'll have some hoop picks tomorrow. Have to figure out what games we're going to pick for the weekend. I think the biggest game is Kansas and Texas Tech. Battle of two top 10 teams. So that'll be on the docket for tomorrow when Steve's brother Kevin Jones will check in from Connecticut as we wrap up another week tomorrow at 4:35. By the way, tomorrow there will be Phillies preseason baseball. The first exhibition game will be on WKOK starting a little after 1. And once that's over, we'll be with you for a kind of a modified version of the show. So we'll be with you. Pittsburgh Pirates did make some news earlier today. A trade that came down a little after lunchtime involving the Pirates in Tampa Bay. Pirates have acquired Corey Dickerson from Tampa Bay in exchange for reliever Daniel Hudson and minor league infielder Tristan Gray in addition to cash considerations. Dickerson's 28. Last year he hit 282, 33 doubles, 27 home runs, 62 runs batted in. Monstrous first half last year for Dickerson, but then after the All-Star break, cooled off with just an average of 241. But Buccos needed a quality big league bat, and they found him. Probably Dickerson would, who knows, maybe they'll put him in the four hole. Maybe he'll bat cleanup after Harrison, Bell, and Marte. But they had to find someone in there to replace Andrew McCutchen. Now, as for the Rays' return, they get Hudson from the Buccos. His ERA was just under 5. 66 strikeouts in just under 62 innings pitched last year. Tiger Woods, not too bad today. Round 1, Honda Classic. Turned in an even par 70. Trailing the leader by just 4 strokes. Woods was tied at 1 point for the lead early on in the round when he got to 2 under, but then fell back off the pace coming home with a bad double bogey in the par 5 third hole. That was Woods' 12th hole of the day. Pretty windy, according to reports out of the PGA National Course. That has historically been amongst the difficult on the PGA Tour slate, and this is just the 7th round of golf for Tiger this year. We'll see if he makes the cut. Olympics now in the final days. Tonight will be the one of the signature events of the Winter Olympic Games, the ladies' free skate. The long program will be tonight in prime time. Lindsey Vonn came to South Korea with the goal of taking home an Olympic medal. Unfortunately, she missed a gate in the combined.
That Olympic women's hockey game, I mean, you know, if you're up at 3 a.m., that must have been something to watch.
Oof. Sammy out front, believe it or not, she stayed up for the whole thing. The whole thing. Her and her brother, they're big hockey fans.
Well, that's okay because I ruined the suits day yesterday because I told them results of the bobsled.
I heard that this morning on the podcast, yeah. And it was very funny.
I mean, let's see, Michaela Schifrin, 4 gold medals shy of goals. Okay, that went really well. Oh, the starless Olympics. I mean, really. I mean, think about it. Who's the star of the Olympics? Like, the Olympics created, like, Usain Bolt, okay? Star of the Olympics, all right? Okay, who's the star of this Olympics?
That's been the concern with the Americans that have won gold medals. Most of them have come from the X Games-type sports, you know, the half pipe and all that.
But, I mean, the star of the Olympics is probably that woman from Norway who's won 3 gold medals in cross-country. I'm sorry, you don't sit down in the NBC production meeting and say, you know, I think we're going to build an entire hour around her. You just can't. Oh, well. It's almost over. It's almost over. In fact, I think this would be a perfect time, especially on the 38th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice, to play our Olympic fun fact.
Oh, okay.
Because that is included in the intro.
It is. I'm glad I thought of that. Of course you remember this.
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
But you may not know this. It's an Olympic fun fact with Kevin Herr on The Steve Jones Show.
The closing ceremonies are this weekend.
But that was cool at the women's hockey team grabbing the gold medal on the anniversary of Miracle on Ice. That was pretty cool.
Okay, sure. There we go.
Some of the members of the Canadian hockey team were taking it pretty... they didn't take it all that well. As soon as they were getting their medals, they were taking their silver medals off their necks. They weren't too happy about that.
No. Nor should they be. That's fine. Good. I'm glad, you know... Guess what? Hey, you don't win a silver medal. Okay? You're in second place. You get a silver medal. Now, you do know what every silver medalist has in common, right? Every silver medalist in the history of sports, guess what they have in common? They all lost. Every one of them. Right? The gold medalists all have something in common. They all won. Every silver medalist all lost.
What's the famous line from the Will Ferrell movie from Ricky Bobby? Second place, you're the first to come in last place.
I'm saying, but they all have the same thing in common. Like, remember last year, the Alabama strength coach, after they lost to Clemson, took the runner-up trophy and he smashed it in the weight room or something like that? Remember that video? Well, you know, this is what when you have, like, I won the silver medal. Well, you actually lost. Like, Michaela Schifrin, she lost last night. I mean, tell me I'm right. Did she win? Did she win?
She did not come in first place. No, she did not win.
No, she did not. She didn't want to win.
She did not win. She did not come in first place.
Okay. Okay, whomever was it, Switzerland or whatever, that she won. And, you know, there is first and second and third. And so, yeah, they give out medals, which is great. You're talking about the Canadians. I don't want to wear this thing. I mean, you know, I've talked to Doug Collins about this. Right? You do know all the silver medals from the 72 Olympics are still in the vault in Munich, right? Or no, they may be in a vault in Switzerland, wherever the IOC is these days. Usually it's at a non-extradition country. Just kidding. You know, they never took them. Now, they got absolutely ripped off beyond words. That was a disgrace that night. The Alexander Beloff, let's do this three times deal. Right? They, not one of them took their silver medals. And Doug doesn't want his silver medal. Doesn't want it. None of them have them. They're in a vault. They won't take them. So the Canadian women's hockey team, the fact they don't want to wear it, I respect that. Guess what? They're out there playing to win. I respect that. Like, okay, I'll accept it. That's great, but I'm not going to wear this thing. You just lost the game. They threw a silver medal around you. It's like, great. Anyway, does Penn State get a silver medal for not winning the basketball game last night? I mean, that's not how things work. I mean, things don't work that way. It's like I always tell everybody, it's amazing how you say certain things and like people think, well, really? Like, take, for example, the college basketball tournament's coming up. What do all 36 at-large teams have in common going into the tournament? What do all 36 at-large teams have in common in the NCAA tournament when they're selected? They're all coming off a loss, every one of them. I mean, think about it. If they had finished and won, they would have been the conference champion with the automatic bid. Well, same thing with this. When you win, when you get the silver medal, I won silver. You didn't win. You lost. You finished second, so they gave you a silver medal. What part of that is wrong?
No, that's not wrong at all. It's definitely an angle that you don't talk much about, that we don't hear much about.
Look, did Michaela Schifrin win the combined last night? No.
Mm-mm.
Somebody else did. They got a gold medal. She finished second. They gave her a silver. So she earned a silver medal. She did not win a silver medal. She earned it. Because only one person wins, that person won the gold. And look, it's great that they give out, you know, gold, silver, bronze. I mean, you know, because it recognizes all the athletes around the world. It's a big, big, big field that you've got to somehow beat and negotiate to even get to this point and to put yourself in contention, because these are the elite of the elite. I've got that. Nobody understands that more than I do. I watch athletes commit themselves every day because of all the practices that I go to, and I see all the time, all the exertion, every ounce that a coach throws into it, every ounce that an athlete throws into it. I see this firsthand all the time. So I know what it takes. I see it. I know darn well it takes so much to do this. All the hidden time. I've been to weight rooms. And I've seen in weight rooms the exertion that all those quiet hours that nobody ever gets to see. Nobody.
And that makes you great at what you do. I mean, you put in the extra time. It's like your broadcast. Yeah. It's like your broadcast sweat equity. You see the sweat that they're pouring out into as to what they need to do to get better and to give to the team.
Right. But that's why I do appreciate the fact that, okay, they are giving a gold, silver, bronze. I appreciate that because, look, it takes a lot to be the third best in the world on that day. It takes a lot to be the second best in the world that day. Just to get there takes a lot to get there. Unless you're that Hungarian snowboarder who didn't do any tricks. I'm not so sure what it took to get there. But it takes a lot to get there. It takes a lot to put yourself into the top 10. It takes a lot to be in the top 15. It takes a ton. And these are hundreds of seconds or hundreds of points, if it's a scoring system, that separates 5th from 15th. But let's not forget, there's one winner. Every silver medalist has something in common. They all have the same thing. They all didn't win. Somebody else did. And I don't think we need to say anything about the bronze medal. That's why when they were doing that digital sales award show earlier today and the suit got a bronze, I mean, should he be proud? We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us here today on the show. As we move forward, and Dana O'Neill's going to join us on the show today as well from The Athletic. Well, The Athletic has really taken off. We'll see how it ends up playing out over the years. I mean, how well it does, how profitable it is. But, yeah.
Yeah, they're getting a lot of reputable writers. That was great to hear from Rob Beer Temple earlier this week. He'll be covering the Pirates now for The Athletic. How about Jason Stark? Finally getting great news about Jason Stark as he'll be taking his talents to The Athletic as well.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, I mean, they have really, really taken off. And
we have reached out to Jason, and we're hoping to have him on sometime down the road.
Yeah, no, and we are trying to work it out to get, see if, you know, between everything, between all of us, if we can somehow get our schedules straightened out here in such a way where we can get him on the show. He's awfully busy right now, which is good because, you know, look, you don't do what he's done for years and not have the desire to be busy. What he does is because of work, and he loves work. And it's good to see you land on his feet. Same thing with Dana, because I know that when the ESPN stuff happened, but again, what did ESPN do though? Like, I know some people, look, if you're at any place for any particular period of time, as time goes, you get a little bit more here, you get a little bit more there, a little bit more here, a little bit more there, and then after a while it becomes a number, and then, well, then the number gets a little bit big, you know. You know how it works. I mean, just over time. You know, the Stu started out by driving a Yugo, and now he's, you know, he drives a BMW. I mean, it's just time makes it happen. And so at ESPN, some of these people have been there a long time. And as time went, you know, they had new contracts, and new contracts meant more money. And they get another contract, and that means more money. You know, and suddenly they're looking around at cost cutting. And when it comes to cost cutting, they feel that there's somebody younger, less experienced. Not only that, but is making less money than you are, that fits the budget better. And so that's what ESPN did. I mean, because what ESPN did, now you see, you know, Andy Katz is on BTN now. And I was on Andy's podcast. I was on Andy's podcast about a month ago. I was his guest. And the, you see him doing that. You see now Jason with The Athletic. You see Dana with The Athletic. You see all these people out there, the ones that broke the stories. Essentially what ESPN did, with all due respect, is they cut all the people with chops. In a business that is aching to have people with chops. Aching. That when X says something or X writes something, you go, whoa, it's got instant credibility because you said it or you wrote it. This business is suffering now because there aren't enough of those people in those spots anymore. You got people saying things like, and they're just saying stuff, and they're yelling at each other on TV, they're yelling at each other on the radio, and they, you know, and all they're doing is making noise. Where's the insight? Where's the thought process? Where's the respect factor? Where's the part where people tune in and go, okay, if X said it or if Y wrote it, all right, I'm going to listen to it or I'm going to read it because, quote, it has instant credibility with me as the listener or the reader. Where is that? You just can't plug anybody into spots. There are too many people out there that think you can just plug anybody in and anybody can do said job and say, no, that's not true. You've got to be connected. You know, take Dana, for example. If Dana needs deep background on something, you know, dealing with the Big East or with Villanova, she can call Jay Wright. And guess what? He'll call back because she has his number. I mean, Dick can call anybody he wants, anytime he wants. Anybody. because he earned trust over time, and he can get deep background on stuff over time because they trust that he will have the ability to handle it correctly. Thus, you end up with better insight as the reader. We don't have that anymore. I mean, we do not have as many. I mean, like I said, it's great to see, for example, Jason with The Athletic now, Dana with The Athletic now. We had Rob on the other day with The Athletic. I mean, papers are really struggling right now. We all know that. That doesn't take a genius to know that. That's one industry where the internet gobbled up in such a way where they couldn't adjust to it. For, you know, they tried to, but it just has been a hard adjustment. But when you have a major organization by ESPN cutting the people that have the chops, that have the connections, that have the know-how, I mean, are you really serving your audience? You're not really serving your audience, are you? Now, part of it, too, is that we are also in a media culture in which every event is really important because I'm doing it. In other words, and I've told my class this. I said, look, I said, if you're writing or you're broadcasting, it is not tonight's game starring me announcing it. It's not tonight's game starring my commentary about it. It is not tonight's game starring my analysis of what you're reading the next day. It's not what it's about. That's not how it goes. That's not how it works. I said, the star is the game. The star are the players. The star is the atmosphere. The stars happen to be the coaches. Those are the stars of the games. Person announcing it is a conduit. That link between the action out on the field or a floor and the fans. The writer is the link where, look, I'm writing. Okay? I'm going to lend perspective on what's going on. But I'm going to be there. Observe. I'm going to go into the... You can't, as the fan, you can't go into the locker room. As the fan, you can't go into the press conference. So I'm going to be the one to bring you in there and give you a feel for all of that, plus the game. That's fine. But the single most important part of the game is not the fact that you're covering it, although paycheck-wise, that is kind of the cool part. I just got the itinerary for Nebraska. Game's at 5:15 on Sunday. We're leaving at 9 a.m. on Saturday. Huh?
Whoa.
Whoa.
I was going to ask you if it was different than you first anticipated.
Yes, we were expecting 1 o'clock, which is what we've done the last two Saturdays. I thought, well, okay, Penn State's going to practice out there, right? So I thought, well, maybe they couldn't get the gym until like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, so they had to leave early. No, they're practicing at 4:30. What? But you know what? It's one thing about charters, one of the great misnomers when it comes to charters, is that there are not planes just circling the University Park Airport and we call one down and it shows up. You do have to plan these things out ahead of time, so. Yeah. But you see what I mean? I mean, it's not the, you know, the really, like, take, for example, today's the 38th anniversary of Miracle on Ice. The brilliance of Al Michaels in calling that game and how he called the end. And also, by the way, let's also not diminish Ken Dryden on the broadcast, too. That call is iconic because of the moment, and that call is iconic because of how they did it. They made it better. But the moment was still the moment of the players winning it, of the United States winning it. And they helped make the moment better by being the commentators of it. And again, a guy like Al Michaels, a guy who's got mega chops, knew exactly what to do, how to say it, how to handle it, the whole nine yards. But see, that's where we are. There was some commercial on the other day about, I don't even know what the commercial's about, Divided States of America, whatever. You know, and it showed all these people on TV arguing. It was political commentary, arguing left, right, you know, whether we'd be better off with Martians running the place, whatever. Who knows? Okay. I know you have to cover 24 hours in a day, but there's too much yelling out there. Yelling about politics, yelling about sports, yelling about, there's no need to yell. You can say it. You can have an opinion. It's really, really great when it's informed opinion. I mean, that part's really cool when it's informed. I mean, the only time we ever yell is, you know, when do we ever yell, Sean?
Very, very rarely.
I'm trying to think, when's the last time we talked to the suit? All right, we'll come back.
Yesterday.
Oh, he was on a roll yesterday. he started breaking down tag team cross country or something like that.
Well, you got your butt nipper out just in the nick of time, so.
I actually got up and left for a while. I came back and he was still analyzing it. Yeah, but I was able to get a meal, a little bit of drink. I mean, I felt good. Now, I don't know what he said in those minutes I was gone, but he was still rolling when I came back. Gotta give him credit. He seemed to know everything about tag team cross country in a cage. All right, we'll come back in more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
And so the Olympics wind down. We'll be talking college basketball next half hour. Dana O'Neill from The Athletic. I want to get her perspective on how it's shaping up nationally. I also want to get her perspective on the Louisville situation, how that played out, and also on the FBI investigation. There's the three letters you really don't want to see attached to your name, FBI. The other ones would be CIA. That doesn't help you much either. So, But that's coming up in the next half hour.
It just makes you wonder with the story that Pete Thamel from Yahoo Sports wrote, what other college programs could be next in line that we're going to learn about that could be just as terrible as what was going on in Louisville?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. It could be more of that going on than we think. You just hope none of that will happen to any other, top quality blue blood athletic program in major college sports. But it just makes you wonder if Louisville's the blueprint. Which ones are going to happen? Which ones are going to take front page news next? That don't want front page news.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like all the famous people you heard about last year that were, accused of sexual harassment. People that, names that we never thought would be attached to that kind of horrific behavior.
Right. Yeah. It's, there isn't anything in remember the FBI came out? What was the one thing I said to you right away? It doesn't really matter about names attached or anything like that. There was nothing in there that surprised me in terms of the information, the chain, shoe companies, money, agents. I mean, there was nothing in there that was surprising about it. Anybody who's followed this for as long as I've followed in my lifetime, there was nothing where you sat back and went, whoa, I never knew that before. But to see it then laid out the way they laid it out, the one I remember saying on the show when it first came out, I remember saying specifically about what impressed me was how they uncovered so many of the layers. There was the AAU layer. There was the player layer. There was the agent layer. There was the assistant coach layer. All these different layers that take you down a path. And they, at least in the initial indictment, seemed to have taken you down the road I think most of us think happens with all of this. Now, when you see, for example, Pete Thamel write that 30 to maybe 50 programs are somewhere compromised in this, he's not talking about the legal system. That part is already kicked into gear with individuals. He was talking about if the NCAA, and they should be able to get the information the FBI has, then that would open the door to then using that information, either for pretrial motions, hearings, and so forth, to then, under NCAA rules, start putting people on probation, suspending individuals, things like that, vacating spots and tournaments and titles.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.